Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. So excited that you're back with us today, because today we get into the next in the progression of understanding how you create the reality around you, why you've been getting the results that you've been getting in your life, why things have been going this way, and also why do you behave this way, even though sometimes you tell yourself you don't want to. This one all comes from that one statement we all know: perception is reality. But the funny thing is that a lot of people just stop there. They'll say, oh yeah, your perception is reality. But people just don't even question, okay, well, what is your perception? How does it create your reality? Like, what are the mechanics there? And what's important in that is that once you know the mechanics, what you know what your perception is, well, then you gain the ability to change it. And that's where all the fun really happens.
Absolutely. And this is going to be such a fun episode. It's going to be interesting as woo-woo we get here. It's a tongue twister for
probably
you.
Probably a lot.
And really understanding, guys, the beauty of this concept of really how much what you think influences what you experience in the world.
Yeah. So here's the thing that we've been kind of bringing up quite a bit is that what we experience is not reality itself. If you want to go back into the episodes where we talk about what your unconscious does, way back,
episode three
as yep. well too. We talk about the unconscious mind as in episode three. When we talk about emotions and how they frame our reality, that's episode four. Then when we start talking about beliefs and how they affect everything, episode eight, and the last episode is all about what you believe about yourself and all the different components that add into your identity, which then sculpt your experience of reality. I hope you're starting to get the picture that what you have called reality isn't. And we're all in our own little unique realities. And it's very possible that there isn't and will never be another person ever on this planet who is in the same reality you are.
And this is, I'm thinking where we want to go with this one. It really is understanding, guys, giving you some simple frameworks, how some people just seem so deluded, right? How is it that they can just be that way, that's so happy and see everything like that? Like, are they neurotic? Like, what's going on with that? And it really is understanding that that is what they are creating for themselves, in the same sense where you hear about, what is it called? There's the people that tend to create this idea that they have all of these diseases, all of these sicknesses.
Hypochondriacs.
Hypochondriacs, exactly. They start to believe that they're so sick and that they're in so much pain when physically there's nothing wrong with that. But they believe it so wholeheartedly that if you were to actually measure what's happening on the brain scan, you would start to see what's happening in the brain actually activating the parasympathetic nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system taking place and completely.
What Sophie's referring to here is a hypochondriac is the kind of person who gives themselves their own nocebo, which we covered in episode eight, all about beliefs, where they believe in something so much that it starts changing the chemistry inside of their bodies and they actually create the condition. I mean, well, think about it. Do you ever have a situation or have you ever been this person or seen a person who is started to sneeze or sniffle or maybe get a little tickle in the back of their throat and they go, oh, no, I'm getting sick. I'm getting sick. I know I'm going to get sick. I know I'm going to get sick. I'm definitely going to get sick. And then boom, sick. Even though all they did was sneeze once, you know, they got a little cough, no big deal. Or maybe on the other side where I don't know what the opposite of a hypochondriac is. It's someone like me. Like, I just don't get sick. And people ask, well, you don't get sick because you believe you don't get sick, or you don't get sick because you actually don't get sick. And I can't answer that question. I really don't know what came first. I choose to believe that I just don't get sick. I used to. And when I got sick, it was horrible. Like, I would get bronchitis or pneumonia. I'd be down for a whole month. And after a little while, I got sick of that. And I just kept on telling myself, I don't get sick. I don't get sick. I don't get sick. I don't get sick. And when I would start to get sick, it would like surprise me. No, this can't happen. This doesn't happen. I start sneezing. I start feeling lousy. Like, bullshit. This is not me. And then it would just turn around and it would just go away. So you can see here that, yeah, your beliefs, would you expect to happen? It's probably going to. And so you see how all these different things can contribute to your experience. Now, I want to get into just a little bit of a recap of just a few of the major components of how things work. And we did cover this when we were talking about the unconscious mind, that it deletes, it distorts, and it generalizes information in order for you to make sense of all this random data. I mean, look around the room right now or wherever you are, inside of your car or at work, if you're listening to podcasts at work, and you can see how the reality around you seems like it makes sense, right? I mean, you can make sense of objects. You can hear things coming from different directions. You can see things or people moving. There are discrete items around you, and it seems that it makes sense. You can tell what's going on, but that's not actually what the universe looks like. The universe really is much closer to random static than anything else. It's just loads of information. And in order to make sense of it, your brain has to filter it, and then it deletes stuff. Don't understand what that is. Or maybe, as we're going back to the item of the issue of beliefs, maybe I just don't believe this is possible. I don't believe that it's real. And so we just delete it. Sometimes we distort it so that we look at something and we fit what we experience into the boxes of our beliefs. I think this is the way that the world works in our own minds. So whatever we see, it's got to fit that. Even if we need to kind of scoot things around a little bit, we need to adjust things. And so that can lead to, I think the example we used in the previous episode was, if someone has a belief that all men are evil or scummy pigs, and then you have a guy coming up and saying something like, oh, you have beautiful eyes. And you take that information and distort it. Mm-hmm. I mean, ulterior motives. No. He wants something. Or wait, is he making fun of me? Does he actually mean that I have ugly eyes and this is his way of poking fun? We can distort information. But by the way, we can also distort things positively. That's what hopeless optimists do, right? My parents will tell me all the time, No, you're just optimistic. When I tell them about all the things that are happening in my life, even things that are total long shots in business or my goals, I'm like, no problem. This is just what I'm going to do. And my parents will think, oh, well, I like that you're so optimistic. And maybe I am distorting things. Maybe I am taking things and saying, yeah, I believe that I can do anything. I believe that I'm going to be successful. It might not be today or tomorrow, but I'm going to be successful. So when I see information, maybe it is possible that I distort it upwards. I turn it into an even better situation than it is because it fits in with my beliefs. So you can go either way with this. And then the last one is generalization, in which we clump information and we fit things into larger categories. And that kind of, it helps us overlook details, whether that is used for good or bad, whether that helps us or hurts us. We can sort of smooth out the details and unique features of items or experiences in order to just fit them in with everything else. It's kind of like looking at a bookshelf filled with books. And instead of seeing, oh, this book is a little worn, or this book is brand new, or this book has something really interesting in the title, it's all just books. We can't tell the difference between either one of them or anything in there.
Huge. And great, great job recap in there. And if you guys want to review that episode, that is episode 3 on the unconscious mind. And we go all in on really understanding how it works. But more importantly, as we start to talk more about the perception of reality, what reality actually is, the last piece that we want to bring up, mentioned again in episode 3, talking about the unconscious mind, is how we actually process the information coming in. So if you remember, there's about 2 to 4 million bits of information coming into our unconscious mind every single second. But consciously, we can only process between 134 to 136 bits of information per second. That is a minuscule piece of what is actually outside of us. And what's interesting too, and that your eyes, actually, if you go into the science of it, this is fun facts, you're seeing everything in reverse. It's like when what's coming in is actually being reflected in the back, and it's having to be rotated and distorted so that your brain can process it the way that it actually appears, which is really interesting. Because if you think about how incredibly intuitive, how intelligent the human brain and really our whole system is, it's incredible to think that, wow, is this really what it is out here? Or is it something so much more? And how much influence do we have over what we are experiencing outside of us? And so tying this into previous episodes where we talked about emotions, where we've talked about your identity, where we've talked about your beliefs, how each one of those influences and impacts the reality that you then experience. And again, Joe Dispenza is a big, big fan here. One of his quotes that we will use time and time again is that your personality creates your personal reality. And so as we really start to dive into who you believe you are and how that creates the reality that you experience outside of you, the question then is, how do we change the reality or your experience of reality if we first need to change who you believe you are?
And so we have an idea of how information comes into the brain. Let's talk a little bit about what we do with it. So we say that perception is reality. So that is assuming that we don't actually respond to the event. You know, the event being the information coming into our brain after it's been filtered. We don't actually respond to that information. What we do is we give it meaning and then we respond to that. And so we can see here that even after our brain does all this amazing work, that's still not what we actually perceive. It's not what we respond to. It's not what we act on. But I'm going to take this even further, because that I feel like is also just a little bit incomplete. What we actually respond to, the reality that we create for ourselves, is based off of the beliefs that are triggered by the meanings that we give to the events that we process. So it's a lot removed. And I know that that might be a little bit to kind of chew on. So I'll give you an example. Let's say there's a real estate agent door knocking. That means they're going door to door, knocking on strangers' homes to talk to them about maybe selling or buying a home. Let's say Mr. Real Estate Agent goes to a door, knocks on the door, and another guy opens the door and sees the real estate agent there and just kind of yells at him, you know, who are you? What are you doing? Get the hell out of here. Slams the door in his face. So that's the event. And the real estate agent takes in this information. His brain does all the computations, does all the distortion, deletion, generalization, whatever it needs to do. And then he gives it a meaning, which is he rejected me. That's not actually what really may have happened. There's so many other things that could have happened there. But the meaning is he rejected me. Some alternate meanings could be this guy's just having a bad day. This guy's just in a terrible mood. Maybe he just found out that his wife is cheating on him. Who knows? So many things could have happened, but he decides the meaning is he's rejected me. Now, that is not really enough to get the real estate agent to respond either way. Because if the real estate agent has a belief of, I'm freaking amazing, and everybody wants to talk to me, and I've got a lot of information and useful stuff to share, I've got a gift to give this person, then the meaning of he rejected me, well, that must mean that guy's a fool. He has no idea what he just said no to. I'll just go to the next house and I'll share my gift with them. No harm, no foul. Off on my way I go. But if there's a belief of I'm not good enough or I'll never be successful, then the meaning of he rejected me could be, oh my God, maybe I'm really not good enough. And boom, like we were talking about in previous episodes about gathering evidence to support our beliefs, then this event could be part of that evidence and could slam the belief right into the real estate agent's face and shut him down for the whole day, maybe the whole week, depending on how potent that belief is, saying, really, I'm just not good enough. And so you see that it's the beliefs that we have, or maybe the self-image that we've got. If you're interested in that, we did a whole episode right before this one about self-image and identity. And so it's those beliefs that are triggered by our perceptions of the events, and that creates our reality.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's so much to this, guys. It really is an incredible, incredible topic. And what you'll start to uncover here is how much who we believe we are and the meaning that we give to the events and the circumstances in our lives really does influence and impact how we experience the world. So I love that Dan brings up this concept of how we are triggered and how when something happens, it, again, it triggers something within us based off of our current identity of who we believe we are. What I want to start to dive into next is really starting to talk about possibility and what people say, you know, that's not possible in their reality, right? You can't do that, or I don't think it's not possible to make that much money or achieve that kind of lifestyle or have that kind of body, right? Whatever it is. And what's interesting here, and what I love to tie in, is how the identity, right, the self-image, the beliefs that somebody has about themselves, it almost sets a limit on what their potential or their possibility is. Because the strongest force in the human personality is to be congruent with who you believe you are. And so if you have this belief that I am this person, I am this way, this is all I can account to, the reality that you will create for yourself will be a direct reflection of what it is you believe is possible for you. Because you will not accept anything that is not within your beliefs. And so this is understanding for the individuals who want to experience this level of life, whatever it is, financially, freedom, women, body, whatever. When you really start to think about whether or not you can experience it, it's understanding, is your current identity, your belief of yourself, your self-image, congruent and accepting of that possibility, of that reality? Is that real for you? Or is it something that maybe could happen, but you don't really believe it to be true?
Yeah, so there was a study done with people who believe that they were lucky and unlucky. And for the purposes of this study, unlucky people believe that the universe conspired against them. Lucky people believe that the universe conspired for them. And it was a task inside the study where they were given a magazine and they were told to count the number of pictures inside the magazine as quickly as they could. And if they could get the right number of pictures in the right amount of time, they would win a cash prize. And what they found was that the people who believed that they were unlucky got the correct answer, but an average of 2.5 minutes slower than the group that believed that they were lucky. But here's the thing that really stands out for me. On one of the pages in the magazine was a tiny little square that said, stop the experiment. There are 42 pictures in this magazine. Go tell the experimenter and pick up an extra $50. Guess who never saw it? The group who thought that they were unlucky. See, it was totally out of the realm of possibility for them that something awesome like that could ever really happen to them. I mean, okay, let's look at the other options. Is it really possible that all of the people in the group that believed that they were unlucky didn't see that page? That every unlucky person just somehow skipped over that page? Not really, right? And what about this? What maybe all of the unlucky people went temporarily blind when they looked at that square? I guess it's possible, but really what's a lot more likely is that it was so far out of the realm of possibility that their brains just deleted it, just took it right out. They didn't even perceive it. And so that raises the question, well, what kind of amazing things are we just not seeing that are right in front of us? What are we choosing based off of who we are, based off of what we believe about our lives? What are we choosing to focus on? What are we allowing ourselves to experience? And what are we completely deleting from our experience as well?
And so as you really start to dive into this, it's the analogy that I like to use with a lot of clients is understanding that your current reality is a reflection of your past personality. And so it takes some time for the external environment to reflect these shifts or the changes in your internal environment, which is why when we say, I feel happy today, I'm great, I'm positive, and nothing good happens that day, or nothing drastically changes, and then you say, oh, this isn't working, it's crap. There's a time delay, right, between the inner and the outer world. And so it's understanding that as you start to shift internally and you start to create this possibility, experience it, feel it, right? Really embody who it is you believe you are. You start to slowly shift and change. You start to change the possibility of the reality outside of you. Because what happens is as you start to let go of the hardwired belief of who you are and the limitations of that identity, you start to step into becoming more what we would call energy. You start to vibrate at a higher frequency. And as your vibration starts to rise higher and higher, just like if you were to look at ice, right? Ice is when the molecules are moving so slow that they become solid, right? But as a molecule start to vibrate at a higher and higher frequency, it turns into water where they're more loose, right? And then it turns into mist and steam. So it's a similar concept as with our energy, as we start to vibrate at a higher frequency, we start to step into these emotions of love, of gratitude, of bliss, of freedom, of joy. We start to vibrate at a higher frequency where we can then have an effect on the matter around us. Whereas for a lot of people, what you'll see is most times they'll be so concrete in who they believe they are and the limitations of that identity that then they go and try to force and create and make way for what they want to create. And it's just so much work. Whereas the person that's living in this realm of possibility, this realm of infinite potential of who they really are and who they can be, it becomes effortless in a sense. Doors just start to open up. They start to just see more possibility in the same sense from this beautiful example that Dan uses. They believe that the universe is conspiring for them. So they start to see the things that when we're stuck in a concrete way of viewing the world, we miss. And so this is the beauty of, number one, becoming aware of what is the reality that you're currently experiencing and what up until this point has been the personality that you've been living from or believing in that's created this reality for you.
So that's kind of a bananas concept to me still. The whole idea that we have chosen to experience this. It's just kind of wild. Like if you read the Course in Miracles, there's an exercise in it in which you start breaking your perception. It comes with its own disclaimer to only do this a minute at a time or you might go freaking crazy. And in this, they'll say, look, all the objects around you, all the things you perceive to be what they perceive, you've given them meaning. You know, the table that my laptop is on right now, that's only a table because I have chosen it's a table. I have given it the meaning of table. And so I respond to it based on that. But it doesn't have to be a table. If I was an alien and I came and looked at it, maybe I'd think it's a bed. Or I'd think it's a car that doesn't work. Or I'd think it's, you know, a broken fridge. Or I'd think it's another one of me, depending on what I look like. It could be anything. A painting is only a painting because you make it so. Everything in life is only what it is because you make it so. And you make it so based out of your beliefs, the emotions that you're experiencing at the time, the vibrational level that you're at, like Sophie was saying. And so we give things meaning and then we respond to them as if that's what they really are. How trippy is it to think that, oh my God, what if I just didn't do that? What if I looked around and said, you know what? I gave that meaning. What if I give it a different meaning? What if I just totally change the definition of table and this is no longer a table to me? And I started responding to it as if it wasn't. See, that's what we do all the time.
Yeah, and this is the idea that I would love to bring up here is thinking about kids when they're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. And I've had the incredible privilege and opportunity of growing up in home preschool, thanks to my mom. So I spent a lot of my lifetime around little people. And what's so beautiful is without instruction, without being told what to do or how to think, these kids, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 6 years old, will take anything. Legos, sticks, phones, rocks, and create this incredible story about what it is and start to play with it in a way where it's just, again, the kids I was hanging out with yesterday, They were taking toy phones and pretending that they were guns and that they were on a mission and that they were going through this crazy thing, and they were all interacting and experiencing it that way. And it was so real for them. And what's interesting is that is a part of every single one of us. Yet somewhere along the lines, we in a way have disconnected from that imaginative and creative side, which really enables us to start to see the new potential and possibility where we can say what is could be something else, and really starting to give ourselves permission to play, to experience more than just what is in this reality.
I mean, I remember when I quit my aerospace job and went into business for myself. Talk about a perceptual shift. Holy crap. It's like everything in my world just changed overnight. I didn't even know that it was possible for me. And so I kept myself stuck in a job that I didn't really like. And then I eventually started hating. And all of the structure that that put me into, you know, being in an 8-to-5 job and having the life that was built around that, and a perception of myself and a perception of my life based around that. And how funny. I lost my job really because I gave it away, right? I gave it away, and I trying to even get myself fired for a little while because my perception started shifting of what my job was, what my life was, who I was. And so my reality started changing. And I stepped into a world in which I would do things and be confronted with all sorts of new daunting obstacles, creating a business, a website. All of a sudden, I have to have a social media presence and headshots, and how do I get clients and sales and blah, 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 like all these things that were never in my perception at all. And all of a sudden, they were flat in my face and had to deal with them. We can change the way we think about everything. It doesn't really need to be such a drastic movement as well. But I mean, it's happened to you. It has happened to you so many times before where your perception will just shift. You'll learn something and boom, it's like the whole world is different. The whole idea here is to understand how you create your perception, knowing that it's just one out of a whole endless menu, and understanding that yours is just the one that you've chosen. It's not the only reality. You can shift it. Like Sophie was saying, kids do this all the time. A big box, that could be anything other than a box usually, right? It's a spaceship, it's a castle, it's an igloo, it's a transformer. They do it naturally. And it seems like when we become adults, our perceptions become rigid. Like it's almost like they scar over. But it doesn't have to be a permanent thing. You can shift things. You don't need to move to a different country. You don't need to quit your job. You don't need to get a divorce or get married in order to feel it. It starts off by recognizing that you can do it, even with simple things. And questioning starts with questioning. Also, your triggers. What sets you off to happiness or unhappiness? Why? Knowing that it's something within you. You know, I love it when someone cooks for me. Now, is it because of the food creating a chemical cascade in my body? Maybe, but I get happy before that. So it's not the event itself. It's something in my perception of that event that makes me feel the warm and fuzzies, and I dig it. And I know that some things, seeing people be intentionally cruel to each other drives me up a freaking wall. I can't stand it. I'm allergic to it. And so that's something in me too. If I hear someone calling someone else a name and meaning it, not just like, hey, jerk face, you know, between friends, which could be like, whatever. We talk shit on each other all the time. It's fun. But like someone actually being intentionally hurtful, like it hurts me and it gets me just almost completely sidetracked. It's hard for me to focus. And I know that there's a trigger in me that's creating this perception of the event itself. And it's important to question them and to see whether your perceptions are guiding you to a life that you want or a life that you don't, and knowing that can be changed, and knowing that is purely internal, because just being aware of it, first of all, just being aware of it can lead you to changing it on the spot. And then just being aware that even if you don't change it right there, it gives you the idea that you can change. And that's so important.
Yeah, this is huge. I love bringing up this idea of how as we get older, we become more rigid. It's almost like, again, if you think about the way that people evolve from early childhood up until they're adults and they're early, late 20s, early 30s, and what starts to happen in between that time frame where we go from saying, okay, who am I? What am I all about? Right? All of this crazy stuff, all of this possibility. We're so much more emotion when we're children. And then as we get older, we learn all of these ways to behave, all of these ways to facilitate our lives, how we're supposed to do things in the world, what we're supposed to say, how we're supposed to experience it, what is accepted by the people that we value in our lives. And what's interesting, as we talk about this concept of program, right, where we start to run these unconscious programs because we've conditioned ourselves to believe that I am this person that has this life, that does this job, that lives this way, and every single day we run that same program over and over and over again. And 20, 30, 40 years later, we are so convinced that this is who we are. And it's what we've been conditioning. Yet, ironically, when you were a child, you were able to step into that mind and be able to create anything that you wanted to be. And firsthand, I mean, I had imaginary friends like there was no tomorrow. And I would dress up in wigs and put on all the Disney costumes and pretend to be all the princesses. And I fully believed it. Sometimes I still do. And it's just that idea that it's really giving yourself permission to understand that what you're currently experiencing doesn't mean it's necessarily who you are, and you can start to shift and change who it is you really want to be and how you want to experience the world, and really giving yourself permission to become more fluid in your thinking. Although, yes, you have been experiencing the world this way for that period of time, what would happen if it changed? What would happen if something were to completely shake your world, right? If you were to have some sort of big surprise tomorrow, right? And a funny question that a lot of times speakers will ask when they go around this topic is, you know, do you like surprises? And everyone will say, well, yeah, sure. And they'll say, bullshit, you like the surprises you want. The surprises you don't want, you call problems. And this is where it really is, this idea that as we get older, we become so busy and so rigid in our thinking that life has to go the way we plan, that if something were to happen, a surprise to happen that is outside of our routine, outside of the way that we were expecting it to be, we call it a problem and an inconvenience. When really it's an opportunity and a possibility that's shaking us and trying to wake up that imaginative child to say, hey, get creative, play with it, have fun, experience. What else is possible? What else could this mean? What's the gift in this? So you can start to get out of that habitual thinking, so you can start to get out of that box that you've been living in, and you can start to really step into, holy shit, this whole realm of possibility, of opportunity, where you can start to create for yourself what it is you really want to experience.
And part of that creative process is your focus. What are you focusing on? Because you understand that whatever you focus on gets larger. Wherever your focus goes, your energy goes as well. So you've got to understand that whatever's in your focus becomes your reality. It's almost like you invite it into your world. And those are the things that exist. And things that are out of your focus, they don't exist anymore. It's sort of like pinpoint, if you're trying to look at something very specific across a room from you, if you have a book across a room from you, try to read it, especially if it's way far. If there's a little bit of text, try to read it. Try to read it, really focus in on it. And now pay attention to all the things around you that you've suddenly stopped seeing or that you've ignored. Or here's another one. Stop what you're doing right now. And of course, if you're driving or whatever, you know, it's okay. Keep driving. Focus on the road. But if you're in a place where, you know, you're sitting down or standing, just stop what you're doing right now. And what I want you to do is look around and count all of the things that are brown. Go ahead. I'll give you 5 seconds. Good. Now close your eyes. Okay. Close your eyes. And I want you to go through all of them again and think, just number them. See how many brown things you counted in that time and see if you can remember all of them. Okay, good. Now, how many green things did you see? Now open your eyes and look around and see how many green things there actually are. And I think you'll notice that the number is a little discrepant. See, whatever we seek, we shall find. And whatever your focus is on, you're going to create for yourself. Those are the things you're going to remember. Those are the things you're going to see. And when we're used to focusing on the same things over and over and over and over again, we start to believe that that's all there is because that's all we've ever seen. And it's easy to get rigid like that. See, kids are easy. They've never seen anything. So the world is full of all sorts of stuff. Oddly enough, that's why a lot of adults love taking drugs, you know, because, hey, we get to see cool things. We get to experience cool things that in our daily life, we've chosen over and over and over again to not focus on. And so by changing your focus, you can get into that creative pattern. You can start redefining your perception. And that is how you can start breaking these maybe lifelong patterns of focusing on things. Break off those scars, that scabbing over your creativity, and allow you to start seeing life in a different way.
Absolutely. And this just brought up as you were talking about really what you're focusing on and what you're seeing, the double slit experiment and really understanding how particles act. And really, number one, before we go into this experiment, and we'll put a reference in the comments below for you guys so you can check this out. This is some really cool stuff that I'm a total geek about, if you can't tell already. But it's understanding when we're trying to measure atoms or particles, right? We can't necessarily measure them because what's happening and what they're looking at when they're doing the slit experiment, right? I'll give you guys a little bit of an example. They have one slit and what they do is they shoot out all the particles through the slit and onto the screen. And so they go and they measure it and it's a straight line. And so then what they do is they go ahead and they add two slits and they start to shoot it one through one and one through the other. And what's interesting, as they're shooting the particles through these slits, they're expecting to see two straight lines, but they don't. And so when they go and look at it, they start to see that instead of acting like particles, that it looks like these particles are actually moving like waves and they're showing up differently. Instead of the straight lines, they're showing up more spontaneously. And so what they then did is they went to go and measure to see, okay, which slit is the particle going to go through? And so when they went to go and observe and measure which slit the particle was going through, the particles started to perform like particles again. And they went and they acted on, they created two slits on the other side. The act of measuring the particle changed its behavior. I really, really want you to grasp this. The whole concept of putting your focus, your attention onto something affects the way it behaves. This is huge. If we can understand that all reality, all that we are is particles and matter and energy, and how when we observe something, when we put our focus into it, our attention into it, it affects the way it behaves. And so when we start to really look at what am I focusing on? What's the reality that I'm creating for myself? If I am focusing on creating this reality and this is what I am expecting to see, I'm going to see it because that is what I am creating. And if you go again into the woo-woo world of quantum, the idea that all possibilities are there, that the atom, the particle exists in every single area, it goes in and out all at once. But the minute that you focus on it is when it becomes concrete in that one place where you're focusing. So it's really understanding that your attention, your focus, where you're putting that energy is literally creating and affecting the behavior of the particles, the atoms, of everything that makes up who we are in the world around us. And how powerful this really is when it comes to creating the reality that you want to experience.
And that's such a beautiful lead-in to your task for this episode. So what you're going to do is pick one thing that you'd like to have or have even more of in your life. And start with something that's kind of easy. let's work baby steps. You know, so I don't want to say like, oh, I want to see $1 million in my life. Maybe a little bit easier is, you know what? I'd like to experience just a little bit more abundance in general, just a little bit more of everything. Or maybe I'd like to see happiness in me and everybody else. I'd like to see happiness around, or I'd like to see that people are kind, or I'd like to see there's a lot in life to be grateful for. Something like that. Make it emotional, not physical. That's a great way to start. I'd like to see even more love. I'd like to see even more happiness or compassion or patience. And what I want you to do is write that down. Easiest way to do it, write that down on a piece of paper, keep it in your pocket. And then every once in a while throughout the day, read it and focus on it. Set your attention on seeing it. Focus on it. For example, if I wrote, I choose to see as much kindness as possible. That's a strong way to do it, right? I choose to see, or I choose to focus on, and then whatever you're going to choose. And then every once in a while, I look at it and I say, I choose to see as much kindness as possible. I choose to see as much kindness as possible. And then actually see it, look for it, focus on it. And when you see it, pay attention to it, note it, go, ah, a little bit more kindness. Oh, a little bit more kindness over there. Oh, you know, I said that, like I was actually being kind of kind. And just pay attention to what that does and how it starts becoming a little bit easier to see it and how it starts becoming a little easier to experience it. And you'll notice very quickly sometimes how it can be that the world was always full of this thing. But now that you've made the conscious decision to focus on it, you can start changing your perception of reality. And all of a sudden, it feels like there is even more of that thing that you want in your life.
Awesome. So I hope that you guys really do take time to try this out and send us a message, write us an email. Let us know how this is going in your life. We would love to hear from you guys and get some feedback really on what it's like starting to use these tools. And on that note, guys, we cannot wait to jump into the next episode with you, where we are going to be talking about why changing your reality sometimes can be so hard. So stay tuned for the next episode, and we will see you guys then.
See ya.